Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. The clock in the ministerial room said 9:30, and this one is a little bit slower, so I was a little ahead of you guys. That's okay. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in Ephesians. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome everyone who has come to our service this morning. And if there's visitors in our midst today, you are heartily welcome to worship with us. For text words for this portion of our service, I would like to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And for my theme for this morning's message, I would like to look at the last part of that verse, to profit withal. And so as I think about that, and I have a topic for my message today, the topic is crossroads. And why I have that topic is because every one of us comes to a spot numerous times in our lives where we have to make a decision. And as Christian people, we have the Spirit of God to help us make that decision. And we have to understand why we follow Christ and why we have that Spirit. And that is to make the right decision when we come to that spot of a crossroads. And I think that is very important for us as Christians to understand. And so that's what my message will be about today. But before we have our message, I would like to open with a word of prayer, and then we'll have some singing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We give thanks for this day that you have given. We give thanks for the opportunity to worship in the way that we can here this morning. And we thank you again for your great salvation, your Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross that we could live. We pray this morning that your Spirit alone would be with us in our midst as we look into your word, that we would be guided and directed by your word, that our hearts would be open to that. We pray again for those that have lost loved ones this morning, for those that are having difficult times in life, those that are spiritually stressed and physically stressed in hospitals and old folks' homes, personal care homes. Be with them also and comfort them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 29, "Since Jesus came into my heart," I invite you to stand.
My heart.
110.
Of 10. star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows bar. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall afar about me and nothing now to fear. With this manna he my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
And so this morning, as we think about our text words from 1 Corinthians 12, and just the last portion of that verse, and it speaks about profiting with all. That means every man is given gifts of God so that all will profit. And I think sometimes we don't talk about that enough. The gifts we have, the talents we have, the blessings we have are for those around us, not just for ourselves. All of chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts and how each gift is given by the Holy Spirit as he wills and as he wishes. And we read about the importance of each one of those gifts and how they fit together so perfectly that one is always profitable for the other. And the gifts are always compared to a human body and how one piece works with the other. And so when I have a sore back, my foot sometimes, I have to hold my foot up because my back is sore. And then when I hold my foot up and bend my knee, my back quits hurting. And sometimes when you pinch your finger, your whole hand hurts. And that's what it means when it speaks about how one gift is profitable or helps the whole body. And especially when we think of the Church of Jesus Christ, and I don't even think of just our church or this church here today, but the whole Church of Jesus Christ is built and put together by Jesus so that one will profit the other. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read about the gifts also. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it speaks about that. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's reminding them of the importance. And sometimes as we think about, when we hear these messages or these sermons, we think about, well, we've heard that before, but it seems like we have to be reminded. It seems like over and over, we as Christians have to be reminded of the importance of what God's word says. We had in our church last night, we had a brotherhood meeting, Saturday night. Not a great time if you have to go to New Bothwell, but that's okay. It was good. But we have to remind each other as brothers. And last night again, we had to do that, to remind each other of the importance of how one is to help the other. And how in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to all look to the other one rather than just to ourselves. And it is something that is often forgotten. I think it's often forgotten, especially in our country where we have so much. And some of you may think, well, I don't have very much. Oh, yes, you do. We live in a country where we are so very rich and we have so much. And we can live day to day without needing anyone. I can say very, very safely that I can stay on my farm and I don't need anyone to help me. My wife and I can farm and look after our cows, and we have food to eat and a car to drive, and we always have money to buy what we want, it seems like. And so we really don't need anyone. And I think that sometimes is a difficulty when we as Christian people, we believe that we're so self-sufficient that we don't need anyone. But here it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up to heaven, speaking of Jesus, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Gave gifts unto men. In verse 12 and 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Speaks about the unity of faith. Often we talk about unity, and what unity really means is that we all believe the same thing, that Jesus is the one who died on the cross. And our faith is only in Jesus Christ, and that is what it means when it speaks about unity most of the time in God's word. And it speaks about this unity here, and it speaks about the edifying of the body. And it speaks about the knowledge of the Son of God in verse 13. The knowledge of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. And how that fruit is supposed to carry on. And there's not much sense having a tree, an apple tree with a bunch of fruit on it, if no one is there to eat it. And it's the same way with us as Christians. When we have fruit in our lives, it is there for others to also benefit from that fruit. And so the common theme of all three of these passages is that our gifts, regardless of what they are, and the fruit that we produce, regardless of what that is not for ourselves, but rather about helping others, about building others up. And then the most important thing about drawing other people to the kingdom of heaven. We as Christians, the last 2 years, I think we as Christians, we've blown it. We've messed up. Why would I say that? Because the last 2 years, I hear a lot about people in stressful situations, and people are stressed. And there's only one answer to the problem. The answer is Jesus. Because if you have Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what happens in the world around you. It doesn't matter if everything is crumbling. It shouldn't matter. I said last night to our brothers, we were talking about church and having open doors and so on. I said, to us, it shouldn't matter if this building would burn down today and there would be no building here at all. We should still worship God the same way we did yesterday. When tomorrow's sun rises, nothing should matter when we look after each other and we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here as Christians not only to look after ourselves, but to draw those that are around us who do not know Jesus Christ to the kingdom of heaven. To the kingdom of heaven. A friend of mine passed away, and I went to the funeral. Roxy and I went to the funeral Thursday afternoon. And the minister spoke. The guy who died was the brother-in-law to the chaplain from Stony Mountain Penitentiary. And the chaplain did the service. And he said, when he began his message, he said, I'm going to speak about heaven today. Because funerals are not for the one who is lying here in the coffin. Funerals are for all of us who've come. And he only spoke about heaven for about a minute or two. And then he said, and now I have to change, he said, and speak about how to get to heaven. He was so concerned about all the people that had come. And so when we as pastors, when we stand up here, the reason I'm here today is to tell you about Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ and the importance of each one of you reaching out to the other. And then bringing those who do not know Jesus, those who aren't in heaven, of bringing them to heaven when they die. That's the only reason I stand up here. It's so that we'll all understand that there's those around us who need Jesus. And to encourage us who have Jesus to reach out to each other. In the Old Testament, we have numerous examples of situations of people who did great, great things. Great things for others. And I could start at Moses and go through and speak about how these people gave of themselves to help the other. But this morning I'd like to look at two stories from the Old Testament. One is the story of Joseph, and we all know this story, and we pick it up in chapter 37 of Genesis. And it doesn't tell us much about Joseph, and I won't tell the whole story about what we read, but it speaks about this young man who is the apple of his father's eye. He was his father's favorite son. And it created a bit of a problem, so his brothers were jealous. And it came to the point where his brothers hated him, purely hated him. And it says they could not speak a peaceable word to him anymore, and so his brothers took him and they sold him. And his brothers did not know God the way that we believe we should know God. Because not only did they lie, they were underhanded. They even comforted their father when they knew exactly what had happened to his son. They could have just told him what had happened, but they lied. And it says they comforted him and gave him all kinds of excuses. And Joseph, when he was sold, it says he had anguish in his soul, but his brothers refused to listen to what he had said, or to what he said, to his begging, and he was sold. But it says the Lord was with him. And in these stories, these two stories that I'm going to speak about, I want you to think about the reaction of the people involved. And does that apply to us today? And so the reaction of Joseph was simply in chapter 39, verse 3. It says that, that simply says that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And everything that he did, it says, he seemed to prosper. And so we see here Joseph, he had a time of when he came to this crossroads, and he could have become very bitter and he could have become annoyed with his brothers, but it doesn't say that he was. We read on and it speaks about how temptation presented itself. When his master's wife, and he was a slave in Egypt, when his master's wife wished to commit adultery with him. We read that in verse 9. And what did he say? He again had come to a crossroads. He was favored by God. Things were looking better. His master was very rich. In fact, it says he was in control of everything his master had. And so here is this opportunity for him as a young man. And what did he say? He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He said, "How could I do this?" We see that Joseph was wrongfully accused and thrown in prison because he had said to his master's wife, he had said no. He had done the right thing. He was wrongfully accused and thrown in prison. Has that ever happened to us when we're wrongfully accused? We think we're doing the right thing. And often I think of young people, and I can remember when I was 14, 15, 16. Sometimes people say old people forget things. Well, I remember very clearly when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. And Joseph was likely in that age, somewhere maybe 18, 19, maybe even 20 years old. And here he was, and he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord?" And when he was wrongfully accused, he was thrown in prison. And again, for 2 years, it says, or quite some time, he was in prison. And there is a young man in there who had a dream, and so he helped him with his dream, and he got out. And Joseph said to him, "When you get out, remember me. I was wrongfully accused. I was put in here and I've helped you." And he said, "Yeah, I'll do that." But he didn't. The young man who got out forgot about Joseph. The chief butler refused to remember him. And so Joseph was still stuck in prison 2 years later. And so here he had suffered because of the hatred of his brothers, which he had nothing to do with. Here he had been thrown in prison because he was lied about when he tried to do the right thing. Here he was stuck in prison when he was promised that he would be helped when the butler got out. And so was he bitter by now? Had he become embittered? And he'd come to these crossroads, and every time he had come to the crossroads, he had looked to God, and he had pushed bitterness aside. And often when we read these stories, we think, yeah, they're just stories from the Bible. They're just stories that we read, and we read through them, and then the story is gone. I've heard the story of Joseph since I was 2 or 3. My mom used to read it to me all the time. And we just kind of glance at these stories, but think about these stories as if they were happening to you. And I have a bit of an imagination, so I can easily do that. I can imagine how things would be. In fact, I have a huge imagination. And when I read a story in the Bible, I can make it become so real to me. And so here's Joseph. And he's still stuck in prison. And he still has the right attitude after coming to all these crossroads. And I often think, well, what if Joseph had listened to Potiphar's wife? What if he had listened? How would this story have changed? What if he had been bitter with his brothers? What if he had been angry that he had been stuck in prison? Would God have used him if he had made one different decision? In our lives, it's the same way. And all of us have had to make decisions, each one of us. Some have made really good ones, and some of us have made terrible decisions at times. And sometimes when we make decisions that are wrong, God can't use us for the purpose that he wants to use us for. I believe God has a plan for each one. But he lets us decide. I could have said when I became a pastor or when I was elected, I could have said, well, no, God, I've got a ranch and a farm and I just don't want to do that. And so would he have blessed me with the blessings he does today? No, he wouldn't have. Because when we're obedient to God, we receive the blessing. And so here's Joseph, still in prison. Then Pharaoh has a dream, and suddenly it's brought to the butler's mind. And he remembers Joseph, and he's brought out of prison, and he interprets the dream, and suddenly Pharaoh thinks about this. In fact, he thinks really hard about this. And he says to Joseph, so what can we do? And Joseph says, well, this is what the dream says. So if we follow this dream that I have had, that God has revealed, we'll be able to save all these people because we're going to have to save this corn crop for 7 years. And Pharaoh says, okay, you're in charge. You're in charge. Suddenly he goes from being in this spot of prison to being the second in command in Egypt. And he's in charge and he saved this corn and suddenly everywhere there is famine and drought. There's nothing growing. We kind of had a little bit of a taste of that in our area. Crops are terrible, but that's okay. God will look after us. And suddenly his brothers show up. And we think about what he said to his brothers and the importance of what he said. And he put them in prison for 3 days and he let them think about where they were. I never knew that, actually. My mom never read that part. But Joseph put his brothers in prison for 3 days so they could think about some of the things they'd done. They didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. And he gave them corn and he sent them back, but they came back again. And I could tell this story, and it takes me about an hour, so I'm just jumping through it. You can read it at home. It's very exciting. And his brothers came again, and suddenly Joseph said, do you know who I am? And they're looking. They can't figure this out. And he says, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. And of course, they were amazed by the words that we read near the end of the book of Genesis. And they thought Joseph would be angry, but he said, no, God has done this for a reason. And the reason is that I could save all these people's lives. And we see here that the brothers couldn't believe this. And Joseph brought his father and his brothers and their families to Egypt. And his brothers were haunted by what Joseph did and by what he said. And I often think about people when they have guilt and how they can never come to peace in their lives when they make the wrong decisions. And when we look near the end of Genesis chapter 50, we look and we see the brothers and Jacob has died. And his brothers come back and see him And they say to him, or they say amongst themselves, now that our father is dead, now he is going to punish us for what we have done. And he simply said, Joseph simply said in verse 19, fear not, for I am in the place of God. He had left all bitterness behind. He was at a crossroads in where he could have made his brothers pay for what they did. And I'm sure he thought about that, just like you and I think about things. But he didn't. He made the right decision. He made the right decisions. We also read in Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. And it speaks about this young girl who was Esther. And she was an orphan. And it speaks a lot about how when her parents died, her cousin took her in to be his own daughter. And we don't know how her parents died, but we know that her cousin was part of the exodus from Jerusalem when the enemy had come and destroyed their whole city. And we can't imagine what that would be like. But the enemy had come from Babylon, destroyed the whole city, had taken these captives who weren't killed. Many, many were killed, thousands upon thousands, before their very eyes. And here was Mordecai and his brother and his sister had died, and Esther was left. And so he took her as his daughter. And it says the queen wasn't looked at as kindly by the king as she should be, and so the king put her aside and he had a beauty pageant. And the king decided to choose Esther as his queen. And so here he was, he had put his queen aside and he had this new queen, Queen Esther, this orphan girl. And she had never told anyone that she was of Jewish descent. And we get to chapter 4, verse 13, and there's been a plot arranged to kill all of the Jews. And Esther has to make a decision. And so here's the queen, Queen Esther. And they found out that there's this plot to kill all of her people. And she's the queen who has everything she wants. And Mordecai, who is her father now, in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, I'll read that. And so he talks to Esther or sends word to her and says, think not of thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all of the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise from the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then he says this amazing thing. And this one thing that I think we should all think about sometimes. And I've thought about this often. He says, and who knoweth whether thou art come to this to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you ever ask yourself, are you here on earth for just this very such a time as this? I often ask myself that question. So what does God want me to do? Am I here for just this moment? Does God want me to do this one thing? And how am I going to do it? And so Esther was at a spot where she was the queen. She knew she had been an orphan. No parents. She of course knew Mordecai had taken her in, and they weren't rich people. These were slaves when they came to Babylon. Now she was the queen. And now she had to decide. And so what did Esther do? She said to the people who had brought the message, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. In those days, if you went to the king to his room, if he didn't like you, or if he didn't want you to come to his room at the time, you could be killed. Even if you were the queen, it didn't really matter. Because things were so different in those days. And that's why she says, if I perish, I perish. But she says a couple of things. She made the decision. And she said, you go and you tell Mordecai to gather everyone together and fast and pray for me, and I will do what I need to do. And that is to go and ask the queen, ask the king for some time so I can speak to him. And of course, we read on. And it speaks a lot about how Esther did certain things. And it's an amazing book. But we have to think about a couple of things here. And one of the first thing we have to think about when we think about Esther is don't just think of yourself. We have to think about Mordecai, how he had faith that somehow God would deliver. By the way, it doesn't ever mention God as such in the book of Esther. But he asked her if this was the time for her to do great things. If this was her opportunity to do big things and save a multitude of people. He reminded her that if you think only of yourself, you will die. Does that apply to us today at all? Actually, it does. It does. If we become so selfish and so involved in our own selves that we don't look to God for guidance, we die. We die forever. And then, of course, one more point is it may be that you have been put into this place for a specific reason. And then he said it, for God to use her mightily. And so when we look at what he said to her, I think these things all apply to us today. Don't think of yourself. Have faith. If you think of yourself, you'll only die. God can use you mightily if you make the right decisions. And so those things Esther had to think about. Esther had to make these decisions, and she had options. And she chose to do what Mordecai said. But she had a plan. And we always think, well, God just made this happen. Actually, God made this happen. But just like in our lives, we also have to do something. And so she told Mordecai, you have to fast for 3 days. And I will fast for 3 days. She put her life in God's hand. She came up with a plan. An extensive plan. So she did her part and God did his part. She asked the king to come to a banquet. He came. She asked him to come again, which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, but she did. She had it all planned out, and she asked Haman to come to the banquet also. And when I say that God did his part and she did her part, we see that God did not allow the king to sleep the night between the two banquets. It's just a little point, but when we read it carefully, we realize the magnitude of the point. So the king couldn't sleep. Who did that? God. Why couldn't he sleep? So that he could recall the records from the past, so that he could realize that Mordecai was the man who had saved his life previously. Mordecai was the man who had never been rewarded for saving his life. And Mordecai was the one who was being targeted by Haman to be put to death along with all the Jewish people. And so Esther did what she had to do, and God directed the king. Things work the same way in our lives. We can't just sit here and ask God to make things happen. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We have to do things. But we can't do things without God. It doesn't work. The decisions we make without God will not be blessed. There's one more point I'd like to make. When Esther finally got to ask the king, she didn't ask for all these great things he offered. She simply said, just spare my life and the life of my people. And of course, we know what happened. At the end, we read that Mordecai got Haman's position in the kingdom. We read that Esther was this extremely blessed queen. And things worked out well for her, even though they started poorly. And so what can we learn from this story, the stories that I've talked about? I think we need to go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Our attitude has to always be to profit with all. Everything you and I do needs to be aimed at helping others along with ourselves. Our selfishness will not be blessed. When we think about the gifts God has given us, we know that all the gifts we have are from God. Whether you can sing or whether you can speak, those gifts are from God. And there's some of you sitting there who say, well, I can't sing and I can't speak. I really can't do too much. If you can pray, you have the greatest gift of all time. If you can pray. The most important things we do are pray to God. He gives us the abilities to do these many things that we do. But the important things are prayer, glorifying God, praising God. When I think of crossroads, I think of the options we have in our lives, you and I. And when we read these Old Testament stories, they're there for a reason. They're there to teach us how to make the right decisions when we come to a crossroads. Profit with all means that we have to have compassion upon those that are around us. We have to understand that they are important, as important to God as we are, regardless of who they are. Profit with all means that we have to give of ourselves to help the next one. And there's times when we think some people are almost unlovable. We think they're hard to get along with, and we think that I don't really want to help that guy. He's such a miserable person. But we don't know that person. We don't know the difficulties that person has. We don't know the help that he or she might need. And so when it speaks about profiting with all, it doesn't have these little reasons why we could or how we could get out of profiting with all. It means everyone needs to profit from the things we do. And so as we put self aside and we profit with all, it has to become a mindset. Keeping others and having compassion and keeping others in our mind is something that has to become a principal way of living, a lifestyle. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to direct us, that lifestyle is easy to live. Because the Holy Spirit indeed wants to help everyone to benefit from the gifts that you and I have and the blessings you and I have. And so as we think about these things and we think about the stories from the Old Testament, we have to understand that they're there for a reason. They're there so that we can learn from them. And I'd like to close with the verse from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And I hope that this verse gives you some new thoughts today. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Let's close with prayer. Our great and gracious Father in heaven, again we come before you this morning. We give thanks again for your word, for your direction. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to the direction from God's word, and we pray that you'll grant us strength, grant us courage to do what your word says. Many times we would like to do certain things and we don't have the courage. Many times we would like to say something to someone or help someone or ask if they need help, and we just don't have the strength. Help us to always have strength and courage when opportunities present. Lord, to show others to your kingdom, to help your church to grow. Lord, to be at peace with you. We need to do these things. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so for each one that is able at this time, could you please kneel and pray in Jesus' name? Hear our prayers. Amen.
Good morning. I have a few announcements that I want to just touch on that are in the bulletin already, but one is that our local annual meeting will be on September 27th. It's quite a ways ahead yet, but I would encourage all the men to pray about it and make an effort to attend that. And then the Brotherhood will be on October 2nd in Winkler. And also, there are copies of the resolution that have been brought forward. They are in the back there. I made some copies. I received them too late to get into the bulletin, so there's copies there. You can just pick them up and read them for yourself. And another thing I have is I felt yesterday I had maybe jumped the gun a little bit, but because I have faith in you as brothers and sisters in Christ, we had our mission meeting yesterday morning, and there came up a request from a member from the Somerville Conference. He is attending the Plumkulli Church, and he is preparing to go to Pakistan to preach the gospel. And he would love to distribute some Bibles there. And so I made a commitment there for on behalf of this church that we would pay for 200 Bibles. And the cost of each Bible is $6. So the total expense would be $1,200 to send 200 Bibles with. Later on, the committee decided to pay the expense and also the Bibles, but then he had said that he would be willing to take 500 if they would be there. So it doesn't mean that we have to stop at $1,200, that the opportunity is to send more if you want, but I trust that you will be able to help with this. And we have decided as the mission committee that we would mark today and next Sunday. Whatever comes into the home mission, that will go for the Bibles. And if you need more time later on, if you want to make a donation for that, just write it out to this church and mark it as Bibles for Afghanistan, or Pakistan, I mean, and we will look into it so that will go where it is needed. And I also would encourage you all to pray for him. It is definitely a step to go into a Muslim country where Muslims are more dominant. He is have to have bodyguards 24 hours a day, and it's all going to be provided from the Afghan people, but let's pray about it. Like we heard in the message, that prayer is powerful. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Jake. Also, I think resolutions can come in till the 5th of September, right?
Right.
Yep. So if you have a resolution, you can still bring them in till next week for the conference Brotherhood on the 2nd of October. So you can still bring them in. And so I have nothing else to bring to you today, only to encourage you to look out for those that are around you, regardless of who they are, younger or older. I never used to think that much about it, but now my father is in a care home, and he's struggling, and his life is almost over, and he needs people to stand by him. It used to be my father could do whatever he wanted, it seemed like. He was very strong. He was a minister also. You probably remember him. He could do whatever he wanted to, and now he's in the care home, and he needs help with everything, even going to the bathroom. And so to him, that's not very good. And so we need to pray for these people and help those around us, regardless of who they are. And I'd like to bless you with the words that we find in Numbers 6, the greatest blessing in our Word of God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And you may go in the name of the Lord. Amen. And thank you for coming.